Welcome to another episode of Masked Monologues, the anonymous podcast dedicated to creatives. Each week, I dive into conversations with a diverse array of creatives from various industries to explore their unique processes and stories. If you're enjoying the show and want to support us, please consider leaving a review or sharing it with a friend.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I have here with me Sreya. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about who you are and what you do?
Hi, I'm Sreya Sharkar. I'm a public policy analyst by training who has worked at several U.S. think tanks for years. I have been writing research-based articles for work, and I had to handle a lot of data and numbers. But my work also took me to people and led me to have discussions about their lives. I was working as a policy advocate that included carrying out surveys. To give you an example, I was surveying a lot of people who used food bank services, and that exposed me to such fascinating personal stories. I used some of those stories when I presented the findings of this survey, and I saw the audience react positively. They heard the stories and they remembered it more than the data. So eventually, I made a shift into writing journalistic pieces for newspapers in the US. I did social and political commentary pieces for news magazines in the US and in India. And while doing that, I had to interview people for quotes, and often they would share their personal experiences that couldn't be included in the piece I was working on. And that made me look for a medium that would allow me to write about people and their lives. I realized how powerful individual stories are and turned to fiction to document some of the extraordinary tales I had heard. I don't have any training in creative writing, but still I started where a lot of new writers start, with short stories. Then I gathered the courage to write a full, and this time I learned that once you start writing a book, the characters and the story take a life of their own. So I had to grapple with understanding creative writing because I had this habit of trying to control everything as a nonfiction writer. But once the mind adjusted to this transition, it was easier to become a fiction writer. So my debut novel came out earlier this year. It's called Beneath the Veneer. It was published in India in February of 2024. And I was fortunate to get an agent, an agency called the Book Bakers in India, who connected me with a publishing house called the Alcove Publishers based in Delhi, who brought out this book earlier this year. And I'm very happy that it's doing well. It's getting good reviews.
Okay, so that's a lot of topics to cover that you've done in the past. I want to know, say you started off with surveying. And when it comes to surveying, you're just collecting data. Is that correct? You're just collecting data on your demographic, whatever group you're working in. I want to know how you went about collecting that data. I want to know how you were able to find these personal stories, because I'm not sure in a survey, when you're clicking these yes or no answers, you'd be able to see their entire life story. So I want to know how surveying went for you, how you used it to connect with people on a deeper level.
Thank you for that question. Yes, you're right. Survey does mean a lot of quantitative questions, a lot of yes and no's. But there was also a qualitative part where I would leave certain questions for them to answer using sentences. And they're the ones that were interesting when I would say that, do you have anything to add? For example, there's one survey that went out to a lot of people who were in transitional housing. And I said, how is the food bank helping you meet your needs? They had so much to say on their own without being asked. And that was the germ of these stories that came to me. Eventually, I connected with some of them. I had a feeling you wanted to talk more about your personal story. So if you're comfortable, can you tell me what happened to you? How did you end up here? What are you doing right now? And I saw people open up. Those surveys can be pretty cold when it comes to you and when it comes back. But hidden in those were some stories that people were willing to share with me. And that was the germ of coming up with these short stories that I started writing. initially.
And then you say you went into journalism.
My job did teach me how to talk to people, how to interact with them and make them comfortable. And then eventually when I shifted into writing journalistic pieces, my focus was writing on Indian Americans, their life, their plight, their problems, what kind of crisis they grapple with in America. I reached out to people. For example, there was this one story I was working on, Julie Sahani, who is a woman chef in New York, and she has had a tremendous journey. She came here as a policy analyst, and then she became this fine dining chef in New York City, connected with people. I emailed them, and it was nice to see them open up and talk about their life stories. So that's how I got to talk to people, to collect their quotes and their stories through my writing for newspaper magazines.
And now I'd like to touch on your creative writing. So with your creative writing, this seems to be separate from your journalism and your surveying. Is that correct? Or did you incorporate a lot of those stories that you had from journalism, from the surveys that you did, into your creative writing? And how did you transition from that nonfiction writing into that creative writing? Because I find with a lot of authors that start off in the nonfiction category, that seems a bit difficult to do because they think, oh, I have to follow this structure. It should be this way. And it's breaking those rules and realizing that in creative writing, the world's your oyster. You can do whatever you wish to do.
That's right. It was not until I hit mid-30s that I thought I needed to pursue the creative writing field. Because as I mentioned before, there were so many stories that I had heard. Yes, I'm from India. I came when I was 26. And then I spent so many years, 10 years, 11 years, working, studying here. I had my own stories also that I wanted to share in some format. Especially, you can't share the personal journey. And I feel that there's something universal about these personal stories as well. Coming here and settling here, my son is about 14 now. He has his own journey. So I thought, why don't I look into the immigrant story? Because it has changed so much. What I have heard from a generation before, what Jhumpa Lahiri wrote, and what I am experiencing, sometimes you struggle to even see a connection between the two. So I think it started there. The germ was planted when I had all these feelings in me with my experience. I thought, why don't I turn to creative writing so that I can write more about individuals and what they're going through. And so I started with the short story journey. Some of the stories I did take from my cases that I handled, but rest that came out of the creative juices that were flowing once I started writing these stories. So yeah, I'm still learning how to let go of the nonfiction kind of writing and to switch over. And one thing I've learned is that more you let the characters take over, the better it is for you. And I am guided generally by the topics that are close to my heart. Like woman safety is close to my heart. Then climate change is close to my heart.
Yes. Now I'd like to speak about your writing process. So when it comes to writing, do you usually do it in the morning? Do you do it at night? Do you have a specific time of the day you take to write? Or how do you create an environment that's conducive to writing? So do you have a desk with your pencil, your piece of paper there? Do you just type it up on your computer? Or how does your writing process work?
I'm a creature of habit. I'm an early riser. And yes, I do have a designated desk. I generally write on paper first, and then I start typing them up. So early morning is the time that I focus on writing the first draft. It doesn't always work, but I try to keep separate a few hours in the morning to do the main draft. And it has worked for me because that's the time when I'm fresh. As the day proceeds, I feel more and more tired creatively. So I do the editing in the evening, but the actual writing happens in the mornings. And I try to keep it that way.
So when it comes to the editing in the evening, sometimes writers wait until the end of their book to go back and edit their entire book. But you seem as though you do it either chapter by chapter, section by section. So I'm wondering, when you're looking back at the first draft you wrote in the morning, what you're thinking about editing, taking out, omitting from your writing, or adding in?
So I continue writing for news magazines and newspapers, political articles. So that's my day job. I'm a freelance writer. So after I'm done with my writing in the morning, the creative writing, I go back to my work of researching and sifting through news and writing articles, nonfiction articles. I generally don't come back every day for editing. I take a few days for the creative writing to happen, maybe a chapter at a time, and then I come back and I give it some time to so that I can look at it with fresh eyes. Editing is such a continuous process, actually. I keep doing it. Perhaps I should tell myself to do it less often, but I can't help it because I've been an editor before in my job also. So I have this habit of keep revising what I have written, and I generally do it in a couple of days when a chapter has come together.
And for new writers out there, novices, what are three tips that they should be looking to edit in their writing? Are there any common mistakes you tend to find in your writing? Maybe it's you go on for too long and you just elaborate too much, or it's not giving enough. What are common mistakes that you've noticed in writing?
I think first and foremost, what's important is, what is it that you're writing? If you're writing a short story, it's one thing. If you're writing a full-length novel, it's different. And if you're writing just an essay, again, these are three different ball games, right? What I always see people do at the very beginning, and then of course they learn and they don't repeat it, is they write too much and they don't make sure that there is a link, that there is a flow. They just write what sounds good at times, but it doesn't make sense when you read it together. So I keep telling people who got my editing services that read through it at the end and see if it's coming together as a piece. If it doesn't, even if you have used wonderful lines and wonderful words, you have to chop them up. You have to lose them. The second thing which I keep telling everyone is, if you want to edit your work properly, you have to be a reader, I feel. You have to read more and more stuff, not just fiction, not just your favorite writers, but also the newspaper articles, the op-eds, the opinion pieces, because how things are written today is also changing. It's more matter of fact, it's more direct, and it's also more personal. The third thing which I think a lot of people at times neglect to see is that, what is the intention? What is it that you want the reader to get at? If that is not clear, if that doesn't come through, then the piece doesn't make any sense. So these are the three things which I keep reminding folks who come to me for advice. And I try to remember it myself as well.
Yes, you were saying with your journalism and the pages that you have to do in your day job. So you're a freelancer who writes for other, is it mainly newspaper articles you write?
That's right.
And I want to know now how newspaper has changed, because you said writing wasn't the way that it used to be before, where people are looking for more of those standout headlines. They want to be captivated in a couple of seconds. How do you go about setting up, organizing a newspaper article, having headlines that captivate the audience, having short body paragraphs, and keeping everything so it's aesthetic almost? Because that's what I'd be thinking when it comes to a newspaper article is, is it scrollable if it's online or if it's in the paper?
You mentioned about headlines. Sometimes headlines are very deceiving. And I see this a lot in Indian newspaper these days, that the headline is the hook. It catches people, the readers, and it draws people in. And then they read something which is not really related to the headline. What I have learned and I stick to is, the headline should be relevant to what you're writing. Even if it is very glamorous, something which is really will draw people in, if it doesn't make sense, what you're writing, the text after that, it doesn't make it, it's not worth it, number one. Number two, I feel that these days, readers, they look for a story written simply. They want to know what the details are very quickly, but at the same time, they want it written in such a way that is, as you mentioned, aesthetically, it should be appealing. it should capture their attention and keep them there, but at the same time, not cheat them, not overstate things, not sensationalize. It's better right now because I just follow the Hemingway style. Keep it simple, mention the details the way they are, and leave it for interpretation. And that really works these days. And young readers are appreciating more and more of this particular simple storytelling. A storytelling that doesn't need any embellishments.
Yes. So your main piece of advice would be to keep it raw, to keep it authentic. And we're talking about embellishments. But when it comes to embellishments, I tend to think of flowery language. So sophisticated words. Maybe it's the metaphors, similes, these figures of speech that you incorporate in your writing. Have you found that when it comes to both creative writing and when it comes to your journalism, it's better to leave that out? Or how would you sprinkle that into your writing without it being too much or excessive?
Great question. It depends on the piece. If you're writing a full-length novel which focuses on romance or romantic relationship, you have to indulge. The language has to seep in the readers. It has to make you feel a certain way. So that's called zone creation, right? So when it comes to poems, again, it's very personal. Some poems are very raw. You are a poet yourself. You would know that very well. Some poems are full of similes and full of jargon. If you want to write something which is more soft, which is more endearing, sometimes people do turn to flowery language, to metaphors, to similes, to beauty in language, which is fine. But as long as that doesn't become just that, you have to remember what it is that you're writing, who your audience is, who your reader is. If your readers are young, then at times they do get impatient. So you have to be kind as a writer to make sure that you keep your readers with you, with your writing. And the other thing is, I think right now we have come at a time when a lot of mix and match is happening. We go to visuals, we go to writing, we go to audio, right? When that happens, you have to be very open. You can't just have one style. As long as it organically fits, I think that should speak for itself.
I want to thank you for popping on to this podcast episode. And I want to ask, do you have any social media platforms or website, anywhere that my audience can reach out to and they can connect with you?
Yes, I have my own website. I have a presence on Instagram. It's S. And I have a presence on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Threads and I'm on X as well. And I have a website of my own, which right now is focusing on my book, Beneath the Veneer. So yeah, I can provide all that so that you can share with the listeners.
Thank you so much. And please do check Shreya out. If you like this podcast and you want more episodes like this, then please share it with a friend or family member and leave a review. Tell us how you think it is. We hope to see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Masked Monologues. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See you next time.